This is the first time we've done this segment before. So for anyone who doesn't know what Running Dog is, could you give us a little story of how it all started?
Sure. Running Dog is now 2.5 years old. So it was founded in October 2017. And the reason why I started it was for, I think, predominantly two reasons. So I have a lot of experience writing catalogue essays for exhibitions, and I wanted to think about how arts writing could be disseminated on a more public platform. And I also wanted to kind of increase the culture of criticism in Australia, because particularly at that time, there was a lot of talk about how many publications were closing, and that kind of continued into the following year. And so there's not a lot of opportunity, particularly for emerging younger arts writers, to create new work. And so I feel like the main premise of Running Dog is that it is centering the writing above the exhibitions or the events that we're covering. So it takes criticism and writing as its starting point, and that it's a creative act in and of itself.
So what sort of stuff in terms of submissions do you generally see? Is there a prevalent trend?
The main setup for Running Dog is that we publish 1 to 2 articles every week. So most of those are reviews, and particularly when we were first starting, they were predominantly just quite short, about 800 word reviews. But you can think about different ways of how a writer will review an exhibition. So I think often I will say to a contributor that it's really up to them the form of what that review can take. And we're very open to publishing more poetic responses, whether they're kind of short form little flash poetry works or more creative nonfiction.
And I think that publishing that more creative kind of analysis really expands the audience for arts writing as well. So I would like to think that over the last few years, Running Dog's evolved a readership that might not have necessarily thought of themselves as art readers or even art writers until they see the kind of things that we publish, and then they realize that they can submit to.
I feel like you're covering so much territory in terms of accessible art and exhibitions and then micro residencies in poetry.
It's all the good stuff.
It's all my favorite stuff, which is super cool. But one thing that is very common in the entire of Running Dog is the letter to the editor, which is championed by you, Naomi. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So I think the letter from the editor, I actually started about 4 months in from founding it. So I should just say that Hannah came on board in 2019.
Yes.
So the first kind of year I was doing it on my own, which I'm very pleased
Huge.
That I now have Hannah to
big ups.
Share my complaining with. So I think the letter from the editor really came out of me talking to some great publishers called Triple Canopy, who are based in New York, and they were talking about how in terms of their publication that they think of it as every aspect of the work that they do as being a part of their ethos. So that includes how they pay writers, how they engage with writers, the kind of structure of the organization. And I was trying to think of a way that I could do that in a similar but obviously much smaller capacity. And I think because Running Dog was so young at that point, it became born out of an idea to really present what the editorial framework was. Because I think what happens when you start a new publication, particularly in the art world that doesn't have a lot of other publishing platforms, is that you have to educate your audience what your focus is. And I think particularly with Running Dog, because it is not necessarily just wanting to speak to an educated art world reader, that it needed to be explained. So that's kind of where it started from. And then once, when Hannah came on board, we started these poetry micro residencies that come out the end of every month. So that kind of committed me to writing a letter from the editor every month.
Well, it gives a nice structure. So every month there yeah. is sort of a focus, yeah.
And in those micro residencies, Hannah, what sort of voices can we expect?
Look, it's very varied. I think our sort of method of selecting poets for those micro residencies is just to give a writer the space and the support to do something new. So whether that's that they're an emerging poet and we haven't seen a lot of their work publicly, whether that's a more established writer that's just taking a departure from their normal practice, that's the kind of thing I'm looking for. Especially as well, I think we're really privileged to have an online platform. So I'm really interested personally in work that couldn't be printed, so work that sort of has to exist online.
So for Letter to the Editor, January 2020, maybe we should just kick into some of the ideas in that. You start the letter talking about, is it a disdain for opinion pieces that are coming out? And you use this comparison to the idea of live streaming online. So I'd love to ask your thoughts on the idea of silence and what role that plays in this particular letter.
Well, it was the first letter for the year, so it's us beginning what Running Dog will be this year. And I guess what I was thinking about was, how do we begin at a time that is so fraught with the bushfire crisis, the ecological catastrophe that's happened, but also just the state of the world. And I'm really always struggling or confused about how to relate those ideas to what we're doing at Running Dog, because I think that they can't be separated from one another. There was just so much content being produced around the bushfire crisis that was overwhelming in how much it was, how quickly it was being disseminated, how quickly it was being rewritten the next day. And I didn't feel like we needed to add anything to that. And I think Running Dog has a focus of trying to think about how we slow down conversation, or how we put a break on what we think about things, because it is so immediately shareable on social media. And thinking how I could try and remove my own opinion from a letter was a very difficult thing to try and do.
I think for me at least, it feels like with the protests and all of these conversations that are happening, in January we had the protest for the climate change rally around the bushfires, and only recently we also had the Invasion Day protests, and it does feel like we're in this very loud climate right now. And you talk about this idea of a silent protest. Could you explain what that is?
Well, I was, because I participated in the protests, and I think I was trying to work out a way that these type of climate protests couldn't be weaponized by, I guess, the Murdoch press or by the alt-right. And I feel like if you think of a protest, particularly in that context, as more of a vigil or just an occupation of space that has an opportunity to circuit break that conversation. But I think enacting that is quite difficult. And then also you have to put that alongside the level of anger and absolute disgust for the lack of climate action. So I think all those things can be put alongside one another.
I think what you're talking about with the Murdoch press is super interesting, because you also mentioned this idea of brutality in images. There's one point where you question if we need to look at more brutal images to feel something, who are we? And then later on in the piece, you talk about the idea of art as acting as a sanctuary. So what are your thoughts about art being a mirror or an escape?
I think it's an interesting angle to ask more broadly about the role of art in an ecological crisis. Yeah. And to question, like, what motivates what, like, in that kind of the ecology of arts. Running Dog doesn't operate in its own bubble. We try to be aware that everything that we publish is intrinsically linked to everything else that's happening. Like, this is a platform of communication. But I think the same can be said for art in general. I think so many artists are responding to ecological crises. I think that in the future, like, it will become very clear. I think that the climate crisis is inherently linked to art, which is inherently linked to how we respond to art.
When you look at political art in countries where they've had a lot of political unrest, those challenges tend to come up and emerge. And I guess historically in Australia, a lot of our art has been tied, I guess in the more traditional sense, to nature and the landscape. And I'm wondering if ecological destruction is the direction of how the future of Australian art will sort of play out, or if that's going to be our form of political protest. I don't know. I'm curious about what you guys think.
I feel like there's this dichotomy that is always presented, which is how political art should be, and if it's not overtly political, then it's bad art, or it's kind of just a consumer product, or it's wasteful.
And I feel like that's a very easy dichotomy to set up and often dismisses the value of art that is purely about aesthetics or that is just dealing with these issues in a far more subtle way. But I think I was very lucky. I had a conversation with the art critic Ben Davis, who I mentioned in the letter actually, who was talking about the relationship between climate change and artistic response. And he made this interesting point that I've been thinking about a lot, which is that so much art that responds to climate change, it's either very melancholic or it's despairing or it's traumatic or it's presenting a future that is apocalyptic. And I think he was making the point that what happens when you cede the space of possibility and utopic thinking to people like Elon Musk or Silicon Valley, and artists who have these creative modes of expression keep producing work that is kind of despairing in some ways. And he was, and I do think it's true, there is not a lot of artistic work, there is some, but there isn't a move to make work that is utopic or to see the future as full of potential. But I do think that's true because it's what happens when you cede space, because then people are being offered a utopic way of thinking from people who might do the most harm with it or who have very different ways of thinking about the future.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Naomi and Hannah.
Thank you for having us. We look forward to
next month.
Yeah, we'll be super optimistic next month.
Yes.